time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Tonight, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, cinematographer and educator Cameron Shaw and educator Laurie Fisher.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend. And we also hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So naturally, we are reaching out desperately to you for your participation. Feel free to give us a call. There are two numbers, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just most subjects, to be honest with you. We sort of soft-pedal the sports or rock music. But other than that, you know, it's pretty much open season. So, yes, please give us a call as soon as you can. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show. We don't want to leave anybody hanging, especially if you have a long question. Just give us a call as early in the show as possible. Also, we just want to emphasize that we love to hear from you. We love your calls. We love your questions, but we have to be fair to everybody. And so we ask that, you know, try to keep your answers or questions down to one or two relatively short questions or one or two answers, you know, just to be fair, because I don't want anybody to feel left out or complain or whatever. Although it happens anyway, but I do my best. So anyway, so again, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. It's always great to hear from you. Since I'm on Zoom tonight, it may pop up in front of me. It may not, but so just to let you know. But it's always great to hear from you, so feel free to email us anytime. And of course, Joanne will put the podcast up in a reasonable amount of time after the show tonight. That will be at kalw.org and many, many, many other places, I found out. But start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. Okay. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. And Cameron Shaw thoughtfully gave me two, but one is edited, heavily edited.
Pick the better
one.
So
I guess I'll use that one.
It was a typo in the first one.
Okay. Yeah. So here we go. Cameron Shaw got her Christmas tree this year before it was actually December, thus reaching new levels of pandemic-related oddball behavior. That's not too oddball.
It's oddball for me, I will say.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was legal. My goodness. Yeah.
It was an impulse buy.
Did you chop it down in Golden Gate Park or something?
Nope. I went to the hardware store.
Oh, okay.
Not very exciting.
All right.
If his numbers are right, and they seldom are, Laurie Fisher wants to acknowledge that this is the eighth night of Hanukkah, the fifth day of Advent, the 21st day before Kwanzaa, and the 18th day before the 12 days of Christmas. Please check your math.
Yeah, please check my math because I'm pretty sure that it is not correct. But our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has put off his holiday shopping to take advantage of all the post-Hanukkah sales that will start on Tuesday.
That's right.
Good advice.
Yes, because Monday is the last day of Hanukkah.
Sundown Monday, right?
Yeah. As secular people often say. So, yes. So I'm waiting for all the big sales, you know, all
sundown tomorrow. Go down to Target, get all the post Hanukkah candles you need for next year. Of course,
as always, I'm waiting for the men's shorts half off sale. But
I think you use that joke every year. And it's,
yeah, I think I do too. Yeah.
So. Classic.
Anyway, all right, we will start with Cameron Shaw.
Okay. So as you guys may or may not know, Spotify this week released the everybody's Spotify Wrapped list, which is what you listen to the most this year. And then they also released the stats for worldwide and US-based top albums, top songs, etc. So I'm looking for Spotify's top five throwback albums. And by throwback, they mean over 20 years old. And then also the top five most frequently added to vaccine-related playlist songs. So these are playlists that people have created about vaccines or the pandemic. Most of those songs have a joke or something related to vaccines in the title. One of them is on there for the artist, I believe. So.
And Cameron seems to have somebody helping her in the background.
Yes, so. my cat is here right behind me.
So. No cheating. Right, there
we go. He's whispering okay, so, answers to
so
me.
So once more, give us
okay. So I am looking for Spotify's 2021 top five throwback albums. Right. By throwback, they mean over 20 years old. I can give you guys years if it comes to that. But I think you can probably take some educated guesses. They are all rock and roll albums, I will say that. And then I'm also looking for the top five songs most frequently added to vaccine-related playlists.
So apparently my warning meant nothing to you at the top of the show. So, good to know. I completely ignored.
Well, it's over 20 years. Those aren't quite pop songs, but I know what you mean. I have a guess on the vaccine song. Dana, do you have any guesses?
The vaccine songs can be more recent than.
My first guess for the vaccine song, and if it's not on there, it should.
Yes.
Hit me with your best shot.
You got it. That is number one. Excellent.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's a very, like that. And for the throwback album, is it okay if I guess that it's going to be at least one Beatles album?
There is one Beatles album on there, yes. Do you have a guess as to which?
Was the list published before or after the new documentary?
I believe after, but only by a couple of days.
I'm going to guess Let It Be as the album, but it might not be.
It is not Let It Be.
Okay. No. So Dana guessed the Beatles album.
I just have a guess on the pandemic songs. How about Eve of Destruction?
Nice.
No, but I love that guess very much. No.
All right, to think about that. Okay.
How about Sgt. Pepper's for the album then?
Nope, not Sgt. Pepper's.
Okay. And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. I'll continue music, but it's different. I've been reading and listening a lot to Stephen Sondheim, who passed away last week. And these two questions are related to him. The original version of West Side Story was written actually 10 years before. And Leonard Bernstein and Eric Robbins got together. The title was similar to West Side Story, but different. I want to know what the original title was. But more importantly, there were two very different groups that were going to fight and compete and have lovers in them. What were the groups? So that's question number one, is the story and the original groups that were going to fight. And then in West Side Story, Stephen Sondheim is very public about hating two of the songs he wrote and loving two of them for a very particular reason. What were the two he hated and what were the two he loved? So I'm looking for the warring factions in the original version, and I'm looking for the songs that Sondheim said he loved. And he wrote the lyrics, so this had specifically to do with the lyrics in all four songs.
Was the original West Side Story, was it called something, was it another geographical area?
Yes.
So it was like the Lower East Side Story.
It's East Side Story, so give yourself a bell on that.
All right.
Yeah. And then which two warring groups were in the East Side that got replaced by the Jets and the Sharks?
Well, the Irish must have been one.
They were. Very okay. good. Yes. And who were the Irish going to be fighting?
And the Italians?
No.
Was it originally the Puerto Ricans?
It was not.
Okay.
Yeah. So Irish and... I don't think it would have been black. It would have been... I'm not sure it would have been Hispanic either.
It was, what about the Jewish people?
Yes.
It was, really?
All right. There you go.
And it had to do with a Catholic son marrying a Jewish daughter of the Holocaust and that conflict. So it wasn't so much that. It was that kind of tribalism. So in East Side Story, it was going to be Jews and Catholics fighting. And
wow.
My God, It's AB's Irish Rose all over again.
Well, in fact, one of the reasons they didn't do it is that somebody said they've already done it in AB's Irish Rose, so don't do it. And probably a bunch of Jewish guys fighting might not have been such a good idea. I don't know. Okay, anyway, so now on to the songs, if you can get them. Two songs that Sondheim loved and thought the lyrics were great, and two songs that he says even now he's still embarrassed about.
I would guess that he was embarrassed about I Like to Be in America.
No, he was
no,
not.
I'm no, embarrassed.
Not on either list.
Okay.
Is Officer Krupke one of them?
No. In fact, he likes Krupke. He talked a lot about he wanted to have the F word be the last word, and a lot of reason why it was Krupp you and not the others. And he still he had a lot to say about it, but he likes it, but not it's not on the list.
All right. Okay. I'll think about that then for a little bit. And all right, Joanne, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, am I on?
You are.
Yeah. Hi, it's Harris from the great city of Emeryville.
Nice.
Let me take a shot on the throwback album would be the White Album by the Beatles.
That is a great guess, but no, it is not the White Album.
Okay. And I have a couple of quick film questions. First of all, the only film to have three actors in the same film competing for the best actor. And who were the three actors and who won?
Well, that's interesting because there was one. I'm trying to think of how many times this has happened. It happened with Mutiny on the Bounty.
But nobody
won correct. From that. It was Clark Gable, Charles Laughton, and Franchot Tone. But nobody won from that.
They didn't win. No.
You have another one in mind, I guess, right?
Well, or do we, no, that's the only one. According to what I researched, that's the only one that three competed at the same time. There were a couple with two, but this was the only one with three. And Victor McLagan won the award.
Right, because they split the vote between the three from MGM and then
Okay. The second question, in the early advent after the talkies started, the strategy of the movie studios was to have one star in a film per film. They didn't want to put multiple stars in. What was the first film to have an all-star cast, and what was the second film to have an all-star cast?
Ooh. Well, depends. I guess it depends on your definition of all-star, but I bet you're thinking of Grand Hotel and Dinner at Eight, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yeah. Right. You got me. Okay, that's it. I'm going, like you said, I'm being short.
Well, thank you. No, we don't want to throw anybody off. We just want to, you know, make room for as many people as possible. That's all. So thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. And all right, let me do a couple quick questions here. All right, what are the two most populous countries in the world that have only one person each on all their currencies, and so all their denominations of money?
Not the same person on every denomination, correct?
Yes, on every single denomination of money. So what are the two most populous countries in the world that have only one person on every denomination of money in that country? And who are these people?
Is Queen Elizabeth on all of England's currency? No,
she is not.
There's a £5.
I should be a little more specific in the question, perhaps. Although I guess it's a possibility that she is on, well, not on the coins. Well, yes, on the coins. But anyway, she may be on every denomination, but there are pictures of other people as well.
Yeah.
So on the, what I'm thinking of is that there's only one picture of one person on every denomination of currency in these countries.
Okay. How about North Korea?
Ooh. Oh, what a good guess. But no.
Okay. Am I on the right track with like dictatorships?
Sort of.
In either case, or is the person alive?
No.
So in both cases, they're dead.
Yes.
How about?
And they weren't, were they royalty?
No.
Okay.
So just once more, what are the two most populous countries in the world that have only one person picture it on every denomination of their currency. And it's the same person, obviously.
Yeah.
For each country.
And will we be surprised that these are really large countries? I know you want the most populous, but are these more obscure countries in size, or is these, you know?
I wouldn't say they're obscure countries, no.
Okay.
No. I wouldn't ask if it was that really obscure.
Okay. I don't know. It's a great question.
Okay. All right. Second question. According to Time magazine, there are at least 16 different ways to spell Hanukkah. So a couple questions. What are the two most used spellings of Hanukkah? So I'll give you each one guess. So according to Time magazine, there are at least 16 different ways to legitimately spell Hanukkah. What are the two most used spellings of Hanukkah? And as a, just a little addendum, what does the word Hanukkah actually mean?
Okay, Cameron, you go, you do the spelling and the meaning.
I'm going to guess H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H.
That is one.
It is. Okay. All right. With the double K, huh?
The double K, that's the way the iPhone corrects you to spell it. Which
and
is
that is
I
the
it.
Most popular spelling. Yes.
Really?
Okay. So that is one.
I'm going to go with C-H-A-N-U-K-A-H is the other.
That is the second most popular
All
spelling.
Right.
Very good.
Go team.
All right.
All right. Good
now
job.
You want to take a guess at the meaning, Cam? I'm not positive.
I am not. I'm not well versed in that.
I think this is wrong, but my instinct tells me Festival of Lights.
That is not correct.
Okay.
So we'll leave that out.
Okay.
Or I'll give you, since you answered most of that, I'll give you one more here.
Okay.
What two male actors voice the ugly sisters, Doris and Mabel, in the Shrek films?
Oh, my gosh.
Cameron,
you should know this.
I should know this.
These are very well-known people. What two male actors voiced the ugly stepsisters, Doris and Mabel, in the Shrek films? And I will say they are less known for being actors than other things.
Comedians, perhaps. Okay.
Is that right? Are they more known for being comedians or TV?
No, they are not. They are not better known for being comedians.
Hmm. Okay. I don't know. I'll think about it. That might come.
Have they been in many other films that aren't animated, not doing voiceover?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just to repeat the first question, what are the two most populous countries in the world that have one person on every type of currency? It's obviously one person for each country. So what are the two most populous countries in the world that have one person on all their currency only? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zita, how are you? Going to be very short today, but I wish everybody happy Hanukkah, of course. Today, I believe, is the 8th day. And was the celebration of Hanukkah, by the way, was a celebration of lights, and it had something to do with Romans surrounding some good Jewish people, and they stayed in that part, or Masada, or part of a castle, and they only had enough oil to keep the candles light, enough oil to keep the candles lit for one night, but for a miracle, it lasted for 8 nights. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Okay, it's a great occasion.
That's the story.
Yeah. The other spelling is C-H-A-N-N-U-K-A, C-H, Shanaka. And in Arabic, it has different spelling and so on. But my two very quick questions are, I'd like to bring, there's two women, heroes, played a big role in that celebration. I want your audience name them. One was beheaded, and one beheaded the Roman general that was prosecuting these people. Yeah, really good. I have it in my Facebook page. It is a beautiful story. Okay, so my two very quick question: where would you find the driest part on Earth? Where? The driest. There's zero participation.
The driest part of what? The Earth?
On Earth. Driest weather on Earth.
Well,
is it surprising? Is it like Antarctica?
It is surprising. Is it surprising?
Antarctica? Is it Antarctica?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
good. It is.
Right. Okay, very good. Second question. And that second question actually was inspired today, a couple of hours ago, with one of the show in KLAW. It was about Copernicus. Well, you know, they were right. It was a good show, very good show. But they were wrong about one thing. It wasn't Copernicus who postulated that that not Earth, but the Sun was the center of the solar system. This woman did. She was the first astronomer, scientist, mathematician, philosopher, and she not only postulated that the Sun was the center of the solar system, not only that, that also the planets themselves, they go around the Sun, not in circular orbits, in elliptical orbits. Now, Copernicus postulated that 1,100 years after her death. What was her name?
I don't know.
Wow.
No.
Dana knows.
Yeah. No.
You answered many times before. Do you know it, Dana?
Is it the woman who was killed by the Christians
in
Alexandria?
Year? Yes. Oh. Yes.
Okay.
Great lady. Go ahead, Dana, say her name.
I would like to very much if I could remember what it was.
Okay. Her name was Hypatia of Alexandria.
All right.
And there's a movie around her, so it's like what movie? It's called Agora. Everybody must watch the movie. Great movie. Great movie. But she was born 375 AD and murdered by a Christian mob under the order of Cyrus, the Bishop of Alexandria, in the year 415. She was stoned, killed, and her body was burned. Doesn't say much about religion, doesn't say you're talking about. Well,
nope.
Thank you very much. Always a great show. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Have a good day.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Always a cheerful goodbye. And let's see.
And something.
Yes. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. We hope you will give us a call if you have a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. And Cameron, I think it's your turn.
Okay. All right. Well, on the topic of Oscars, I'm going to ask an Emmy question. There's one person who has won an Emmy for Best Comedy Series and Best Drama Series in the same year. The year was 1999. Who is it and what were the two shows?
I'm sorry, once more, please.
Okay. Who is the only person ever to win an Emmy for Best Comedy Series and Best Drama Series in the same year, 1999, and what were the two shows?
Writing it or being in it?
He's the showrunner, producer person, and it is a he. So that's helpful.
1999.
Yes.
So is it the showrunner? And when you say the runner, is that the person we'd associate with writing it and being in charge of it?
That's the working
yeah.
producer.
Like the creator. Right. He's the creator of these shows.
Okay.
So that's a better way to put it.
The runner is sort of the day-to-day person. So was it Aaron Sorkin?
No, that's a great guess. He's of that caliber.
Yeah.
Yes.
And well, that well-known or famous?
Yeah, person? I think in TV circles, absolutely, yes. I mean, if you watch TV, you see his name a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Drama and comedy. So that's interesting.
Yes.
Did James Brooks, Dana, do both those? He did a lot.
I don't know how much. I don't remember him doing drama.
I don't know.
All right. I have to think about this. Okay. I'm not really sure. So Norman Lear would not be one.
That's, no. And here's a hint of sorts. The two shows did, I believe, a couple of crossover episodes. So they kind of existed in the same universe.
But one was a drama and one was a comedy.
Yes.
So a character in one shows up in the other, in the, you know.
Yeah, I can't say I remember the exact circumstances of the episodes. But
it's the dramatic series about a law firm or lawyers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So all right. My dog is falling asleep listening to the show. So I hope it looks like your cat is falling asleep too.
My cat's always asleep.
Is the show LA Law?
No, but you're thinking in the right area.
So other legal shows. The Good Wife, no, that's too old. I mean, too new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Think about
it. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Peter on Bernal.
Hi, Peter.
For the Beatles throwback album, how about Rubber Soul?
It is not Rubber Soul. It's one of the later Beatles albums, and it's not one that jumps to mind immediately for me, I will say.
And for the Face on Currency, what about Taiwan and Japan?
Neither one.
I have a question.
Yes.
In the UK, we currently have the second, which will presumably be followed by the third, but then the fifth, and then the seventh. What do these numbers represent?
Wait a minute. The second is Elizabeth II. The third will be Charles III. Mm-hmm. And then I assume you're talking about George or William and William the Fifth.
Yes.
Because William the Fourth is the one that came just before Queen Victoria, and then George
the seventh.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
And they're all prime numbers. So how about that?
There you go.
That's wild.
Very good. Okay, that's all for me. Happy Hanukkah.
Very nice.
Thank you.
So Cameron, is the Beatles throwback Abbey Road?
No. No, it is not.
How about Magical Mystery Tour then?
No, not Magical Mystery Tour.
But it's late, you know, because we're getting the late ones. Let it be Abbey Road with the two last ones.
I share in your consternation with this one. Yes.
And we need the vaccine songs. Okay.
And Lori, go ahead.
Okay. So this question is about the naming of the Omicron virus. So you might have noticed that the World Health Organization skipped two Greek letters in their naming of viruses for very particular reasons. They had planned to go through the Greek alphabet, and they skipped two letters. Which two did they skip, and why did they skip them?
Okay.
Go ahead, Cameron. Go ahead.
I believe I know them both, but I can just say one. I think they skipped new because it sounds confusing, the new variant.
Correct. The letters NU, and they said the new variant.
Oh,
that is the reason.
I know why they skipped the other one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you know? I'm sure Cameron knows too.
Go ahead.
It's the same name as the Chinese president.
It is. So it's spelled XI, and there's various ways to pronounce it, but they thought in print, it's a real common name in China. It's the premier of China, and they thought, this is exactly what they don't want to do. Is that his
disaster.
Name on it. So very good. All right. You like that one. Nice work. All right. I'm going to give another quick one.
Go ahead.
Okay. Since 2016, there are only four states in which the majority of the people who are registered to vote are college educated. What are the four states? Give you a couple guesses each.
Oh, man.
Okay. So four states in which the majority of the college voters are college educated. What are they?
So is there any correlation between the amount of population in the state and this being the case?
In other words, the size
of the state?
There might be a correlation that I don't know, and I don't see it, and I won't give you any hints either way. There probably is, you know, when I think about it, but it's not dramatically so like, the biggest states or the smallest states. So I wouldn't go
because you want to say, for instance, Massachusetts, but I'm not sure that would be correct.
That's the first one. 2016 was the first
one. Okay.
So there
give
you
yourself
go.
A bell on that. No more guesses for you, Dana.
I'm going to stick to Dana's line of thinking, too. Okay. That's where I was going and say Connecticut.
No, but that's good guessing, and I would think it is, but it's not listed. Okay. So want one more guess?
Think of New England. That would be
Vermont.
No, also not Vermont.
Okay.
Okay, so we're looking for three states besides Massachusetts in which the majority of registered voters are college educated. Dana got Massachusetts. We're looking for three more.
Oh, my dog woke up.
It's pet night at Minds Over Matter.
Lori's very exciting, so he woke up to listen.
Yeah, right. And let's go to a call.
That way with pets.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
No, I'm kidding. Were all those spellings of Hanukkah kosher? I'm just kidding. Hey, by the way, you know why they kept Krupp U for the ending? It was for the soundtrack album. Do you know why they couldn't use the F word?
Because they were told if they shifted across state lines, they'd be arrested for obscenity.
The Comstock Act.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was reviewing last week's, and there were so many connections that were like, anyway, here we go. Ned Beatty. A connection to someone else mentioned later in the show when we talked about the French Connection.
So I don't know what the question is.
The connection is, what's the connect? Remember we talked about 6 degrees of Ned Beatty?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's his connection to the French Connection?
You shouldn't ask us questions about last week's show because, frankly, we have trouble.
That was a question about Jackie Gleason.
Who starred in The French Connection?
Gene Hackman. And freaking wanted Jackie Gleason.
Right, exactly. So Gene Hackman is one link away from Ned Beatty in what movie?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Let's see.
Gene Hackman played...
many people. He was in
Lex Luthor.
Oh, in Superman.
Okay.
Oh, and Ned Beatty.
Oh yeah, Ned Beatty was his assistant. Yes.
Yes, Otis.
Right.
So and so I guess if Popeye was in Superman, that is to say Popeye Doyle. Hey, and you also mentioned, oh, by the way, I'm sorry Kira's not there. The most famous toilet scene actually included someone else who she mentioned, a Jew who is mentioned in the Adam Sandler song. Think the Godfather. The most famous toilet scene.
Oh, that song.
Well, in The Godfather, he hides the gun in the toilet when he's on the top.
Yes.
That's Sterling Hayden and Al Pacino.
When you did the Adam thing, and you mentioned James Caan, and in the preceding scene, remember James Caan says, I don't want my brother leaving the bathroom blank his blank, right? So there was the most famous toilet scene was in The Godfather. If you think about it. And the last thing I want to mention is, do you remember you mentioned in The Solid Goal, Marilyn McCoo?
Sure.
That's an MM when I mentioned Minds Over Matter, all the double M's. And Eve mentioned Alex Darcy as starring in a certain MM movie that I had mentioned. Do you know what the MM movie is?
No, he started with Marilyn Monroe.
How to Marry a Millionaire.
Yes. So there's your connection between Alex Darcy and Marilyn McCoo. It's the MMs. Anyway, great show. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And we're about halfway through, a little past, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Cameron.
Okay, I am looking for Spotify's top throwback albums of 2021. So the most listened to throwback albums that are over 20 years old, and also the most frequently added songs to vaccine-related playlists. And then Lori got Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar. I am also looking for the only person to ever win an Emmy for Best Comedy Series and Best Drama Series in the same year, which was 1999, and what the two shows were.
So the throwback album, I'll guess two more. Hard Day's Night and Help.
Neither of those.
Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I am looking for which three states, in addition to Massachusetts, are the majority of registered voters college educated? And then I have a Stephen Sondheim question. In interviews, he talked very specifically about actually hating the lyrics he wrote for two different songs and loving the lyrics for two different songs. And if you know, you might know the reason why. We'll throw that in. He's specific about the things that drive him crazy that he wrote his lyrics. So if you quote those, that would be good. And that's all I have.
All right. I asked, what are the most populous country, the two most populous countries in the world that have only one person on every denomination of their currency? And by that, I mean, it's a famous person. You know, I'm looking for two people, obviously, one for each country. And obviously, these people are very famous within those countries. But in only those two countries, do they have only one person on every denomination of their currency? And only one person. So who are those people and what are those countries? Second question, who are the two male actors? And I'm sort of being generous when I call them actors. Who are the two male personalities that voice the ugly sisters, Doris and Mabel, in the Shrek films? Who are the two well-known entertainment personalities who voice the ugly sisters, Doris and Mabel, in the Shrek films?
Are these people like talk show hosts, that kind of personality?
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Like David Letterman?
No.
But he wouldn't be, would he be far off from looking for the Jimmy Kimmels or Stephen Colbert kind of deal?
Yeah, you might be in the general, you're doing the general area now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give you, I think it's my turn, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's my turn.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you listen to the show or pay any attention to what I say, and there's no reason for you to do that, but you'll know that my least favorite kind of film is the biblical film, because I think they're phony beyond belief and everybody overacts in them. So, but the casting is sometimes fascinating. Like, you know, the usual blue-eyed Christ that turns up in these things. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick out a film, and this film is The Greatest Story Ever Told, which is a 1965 film, which is the story of Jesus, strangely enough. So I'm going to read you eight famous actors who were in this film. And to keep in mind, this is the story of Jesus from you know, young Jesus to 30th Jesus, because he didn't get any older than that. And I want you to tell me what famous part these actors play. Okay, remember, this is The Greatest Story Ever Told, 1965 film.
And there's eight people.
And there are eight people. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking to, I want you to tell me what famous religious role they played in these films.
Wow.
In, you know, biblical role, I guess I should say. Yeah. So number one is Telly Savalas, who I always think of when I think of religious films. And number two is Charlton Heston. Number three is David McCallum, who was my first crush, by the way.
Really?
Excellent.
Yes, David McCallum.
The kid from Uncle. Yeah.
Yeah. So Telly Savalas, number one. Charlton Heston, number two. David McCallum, number three. Claude Rains, number four.
What a cast.
John Wayne, number five. Roddy McDowell, number six. Dorothy McGuire, number seven. And Max von Sydow, number eight. So again, remember, this is the story of Jesus from you know, young Jesus, you know, with his paper route. And then you know, 30s, when he was in his 30s and his life was cut short. So again, what roles did these famous actors play in the story of Jesus? Number one, Telly Savalas. Number two, Charlton Heston. Number three, David McCallum. Number four, Claude Rains. Number five, John Wayne. Number six, Roddy McDowell. Number seven, Dorothy McGuire. Number eight, Max von Sydow. Okay, I'll give you each two guesses.
So Cameron, you go first.
Okay, I believe it or not, I've seen this movie. That's what religion and film class does for you.
Okay, there you go.
So I know that Max von Sydow was Jesus.
Another blue-eyed Jesus, yes.
And Swedish, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Swedish too.
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, I don't know anyone else. You didn't say Sidney Poitier. I know he was in there.
No, I did not.
He was in it?
Do you remember what part he played?
I don't remember what part he played.
He was in it.
John Wayne, I know, was one of the Romans, but I don't know.
Well, I'll take that. Do you remember what he did?
not specifically. No.
Something bad.
Was he Pontius Pilate? No.
No. He was a Roman. I'll just give it to you. He was a Roman centurion.
Okay.
And he has one line at the crucifixion.
Okay.
He says, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Good impersonation.
Yeah.
My professor at the time pointed him out in particular to say, "Everybody, this is John Wayne."
In 1965, yeah. He's a pretty big star. Okay. Yeah, right. You took my Jesus. I knew that was the only one I knew for sure. I got two guesses. With Dorothy McGuire, I'm going with one of the Marys. Isn't she a Mary?
Well, you got to be more specific than that.
All right. Let's see. Well, age-wise, she should be the mother of Jesus.
So yes, that's right. She never... I don't think Dorothy McGuire ever played a prostitute, so she's not the other Mary.
Telly Savalas had to be a bad guy. So I'm going to go with Judas.
No.
Okay. Then no. And how about Claude Rains being Judas?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. All right. So
fun question.
These are the some of the famous actors that appeared in The Greatest Story Ever Told, a 1965 film about the life of Jesus. I mean, no disrespect, only that the film is, like many biblical films, overacted. Like every biblical film, overacted.
This cast is something.
So tell me what famous roles these actors played in The Greatest Story Ever Told. Ones we have left are Telly Savalas, Charlton Heston, David McCallum from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., My Dream Boat, and Claude Rains, Roddy McDowell, and those are the ones we have left.
Who directed it?
George Stevens, an extremely good director.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But anyway, okay. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Joanne, if you're listening, let us know how many calls we have on the line, just so I know, if you don't mind. And let's go to a call. Thank you. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have some guesses. For the last one about the story of Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, so could Roddy McDowell be Pontius Pilate?
He is not Pontius Pilate. He's actually got a more sympathy. He's more sympathetic than that, believe it or not. So
he always is.
Yeah. Oh, is he like Paul or Peter?
Well, he is one of the apostles.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, God. Who else is there? Okay.
You've got nine left.
My Catholic school education is pretty crappy. Okay. Yeah, and Charlton Heston, was he Judas?
He was not.
Okay. So moving on to the other one, Spotify playlist guesses. Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven album?
No, that's a great guess, though. Gosh.
Is there any Led Zeppelin album?
There are no Led Zeppelin albums on there.
Okay. The Beatles, would it be Revolver or Let It Be?
It is not Revolver or Let It Be.
Okay. Rolling Stones, Hot Rocks?
No.
Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here? Or Dark Side of the Moon?
No. Nope.
Okay. Some Girls or Rolling Stones?
No, there are no Rolling Stones.
This is a great list.
On here
this is
either.
A great list, though.
Okay. So Cameron, I don't know who actually did it, but did the person who did West Wing also do Ally McBeal?
Ally McBeal is one of the shows, but it is it is not Aaron Sorkin, the creator.
So it's David Kelly.
It is David E. Kelly. Yes.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Okay.
And his other show.
Okay. But does anyone know the other show?
Yes. I might.
So, if I could ask Iran, the Ayatollah?
Oh, for the currency.
Dana. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
On the currency for the country?
I didn't quite hear that. Would you say that again for me?
For Iran? Could it be the Ayatollah?
No, not Iran. It's not Iran.
Turkey, Ataturk?
That's a very good guess. But no, not that.
Okay. India, Gandhi?
Yes, Gandhi.
Oh,
India. Gandhi is on every denomination of Indian currency. Very good.
Did I get a bell? Oh, there's my
you
bell.
Do.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent.
How about like Saudi Arabia, any of those people in the House of Saud?
No, not Saudi Arabia.
Okay, and my last guess on currency, would it be the deceased King Hussein of Jordan, the one who was the dad of the current king?
Oh yeah, that's you got the name right, King Hussein. But no, it's not Jordan.
Oh, is the name Hussein?
No, it's not. It's not Hussein or Jordan. Sorry.
Okay, never mind. And then one last thing for the states most college educated. I don't know if anybody guessed New Hampshire or Maine.
No one guessed New Hampshire. No one guessed Maine, and both are incorrect.
Maryland?
Yes, Maryland's on the list.
Very good.
Get a bell for that. Second bell.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Love the show. All the best.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Is the other David Kelly show Picket Fences?
No, it is not.
Okay. And is one of the vaccine songs Double Shot of My Baby's Love?
No, but I wish it were.
It should be. Yeah, but how many of the titles have the word shot in them? Any?
Actually, no, the only one that had shot in it is Hit Me With Your Best Shot. The others are a little more veiled references, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. James and San Francisco. Sorry, I'm outside. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you're okay.
Cool. I know, I've heard Sondheim complain publicly more than once about making Maria sound too sophisticated in I Feel Pretty.
You're completely right. Do you remember the line that he specifically talks about?
I think it's alarming how charming I feel, which is very obnoxious.
It's exactly correct. That's the one that drove him crazy. She would never say anything like that. Great work.
I absolutely love his comment that I've heard in more than one form. I've heard him say this more than once. He says, this inexperienced high schooler with her background and the way I made her sound, she wouldn't have been unwelcome in the salon of Noel Coward.
God, that's great. That's great. I've never heard that line. It's terrific.
I love it. Rest in peace. And I had a couple other guesses, but yeah, I think they've all been subsumed by previous callers. So thanks.
As always, thank you very much. Show. Thanks.
Soon. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And all right, who has a very well? I'm gonna ask Cameron because she's a guest.
But I have a Cameron question. So if she doesn't have one, I have a good one.
I will see. I do have questions, but I will see that to Lori because now I'm curious.
Because this is one. This is one designated for you.
Oh, great!
So and Data, you might know. I want to know what Colorama is. Okay. And every, you know, who invented it, what it was, when it was. I mean, if you get them, you'll run the table on it.
Since it's a Cameron question,
let her take the first. She's not going to be on next week. Let her take the first axe at it.
Okay. Well, I don't know exactly what it is, but if I had to guess, I would say is it something to do with three strip Technicolor?
It has something to do with production of visual things, yes, but nothing specific about Technicolor.
Okay.
But it's around the same era.
So, and it doesn't have to do with like Natalie Kalmus approving the colors used in a film?
No.
Okay.
It does not have to do with that.
Okay. So I pass.
Dana, do you know? Have you heard of it?
So is it, it's not older than Technicolor.
What year's Technicolor?
53? Technicolor, well, three strip, the most common Technicolor, comes in the mid-30s.
Okay, it's after that. I'll give you the year even. I'm looking at the time. It's 1950.
All right. Colorama.
Colorama.
Is it anything they used in animation?
I don't think so. Not the way I read about it. The article I read wasn't about that. You know, I'll give you one more hint. Although it has to do with film, it does not have to do with movies.
Oh, wait a minute then. Then so... Does it have anything to do with Kodak?
Yes. Kodak is the inventor.
Okay. Is this an instant color film that Kodak developed or something of that ilk?
No, not an, it's nothing like Polaroid.
But it's Kodak. Like it's invented by Kodak.
It's invented by Kodak for a film thing that they did. That was very public, and I won't give more hits than that because somebody might know that. Okay. 1950.
Interesting. Was it something for, like, marketed to lay people?
I would say kind of, yes. It was certainly marketed to make Kodak, to people be very aware of how excellent Kodak film is.
So was this, I have a very, I have kind of a vague feeling about this, that this had something to do with a display that Kodak did.
Correct.
And it was on some big public place, so I can't remember what the public place was anymore.
Keep going. It's in a big American city, this public place.
Was it, it must have been New York then.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So where's a big public place where you could display photographs?
Well, there are many big public places in New York. Yeah, right. Times Square is not bad. But it's an indoor place.
Correct.
Because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to really display it.
So a big indoor place where...
Like Pennsylvania Station or...
I'll give it, it's Grand Central Station.
Grand Central Station. Okay.
So keep going. We still need a little bit more.
But it was just a display of color, their new color... photography or something like that, wasn't it? Kind of, sort of. I don't know. I can't go any further.
I'll give it at the end. I want a little bit more than they were showing photographs. It's something bigger and more spectacular than that.
All right. Okay.
Leave the rest out.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. This is Hal out in Fremont. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hi, Hal. Good, thank you.
Good. It's always a pleasure to catch you early in the day, especially at the beginning of the So I believe Shrek stepsisters, I believe it was Larry King.
Oh.
Larry King is one, yes. Whoa. Larry King was Doris.
Okay, goodness. I was afraid you're going to ask me which was which. And it was Regis Philbin.
Regis Philbin was Mabel, yes.
Great.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent casting.
Really?
Larry King has such a distinct voice, so it was
really he does. Yes.
Roddy McDowell, I believe he was Matthew the Apostle, am I right?
He was Matthew, yes. Apostle Matthew, very good.
All right, and your COVID playlist, you said there's nothing with Shot, so Big Shot from Billy Joel or nothing from Hamilton?
No, Hamilton would be a great one, but no.
Yeah,
no, nothing else with Shot in the title.
I believe Weekend has a song called Save Your Tears.
Yes, Save Your Tears is number 4. Yeah. Great. Good job.
And I don't know if it's going to be on your list either. I believe Dolly Parton kind of rewrote her song Jolene to fit.
Yes, absolutely. Jolene.
Jolene is a vaccine song?
Well, Dolly Parton had a big hand in the Moderna vaccine, and many people, I think, have sung the song Vaccine, instead of...
And I believe she was singing it when she got her shot herself, so...
Oh, that's great.
There you go.
That's a tribute to herself. That's all I got. That's all I got. Thank you very much. Great show, as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. Hiya. But turn my radio down. I know you're going to all get these. They're Sondheim questions from an interview this week, but that's all I have. So I want the 5 plays which he wrote lyrics and music for starting from 1970. There are 5 major plays, probably more, but can you name 5?
Throw in my one. The Follies.
The first one was Follies. a funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
No, what? Because she said 1970 on. And then anything happened on the way to the forums before that.
After also. West Side Story and everything, yeah. His own writing, his own plays, and he wanted to do his own stuff starting from 70.
Company must be one of them.
Company's one. I think it was the first.
Go ahead.
He did Into the Woods, right?
Right.
Yes.
Joanne guessed.
And you said Follies, right?
Yes. I was about to. Okay.
Do we have them all? Oh, I'm sorry.
Pacific Overtures or Assassins? Oh, we said that.
Yeah. Sweeney Todd.
That I think that's later. I want earlier. Oh, okay. Sweeney Todd, sure, but I want a little earlier.
Oh.
So you said 1970, though. So
Pretty much the 70s. I hope I'm, you know, the 1970s, basically. Maybe one was a little after.
When was Merrily We Roll Along? Do you know, Dana? That was early.
Well, that was that came and went like three different times. So
I know. I know it was on for like 16 performances. How many are we missing?
Well, I have two. I have two major ones.
He also did. I think I'm not a musical theater expert. I think he did A Little Night Music.
Yes, that's another one. Yeah. And I have one more here. You have Company Follies, Into the Woods, A Little Night Music, and I have one more, an important one.
Well, tell us what it is. Go ahead.
Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh,
of course.
Sure. He won the Pulitzer Prize for that. Very good.
Right. Now I have another Stephen Sondheim question about, I want to know what play we're sending the clowns in, Rose.
That's A Little Night Music.
Right.
Yeah, right. I want to know who is George in Sunday in the Park with George.
Surratt. George Surratt.
Yeah. Yeah, Surratt. Right. And my last one is, where, in what state did he grow up in which Hammerstein also grew up and was his mentor?
They went to Pennsylvania, right?
Pennsylvania. Yeah. Well, you got everything.
Yeah, good.
All right. Thanks, Fran.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, one more call, and then we got to clean up here. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, James in Berkeley.
Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, you're on.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Hi. Good. Okay, right. The Global Peace Index of 2021 uses 23 criteria to rate the 163 countries. I want the top five most peaceful countries, the very last least peaceful, and where the United States falls in between.
James, we've only got 3 minutes left in the show, so I don't think we're going to be able to do this. But if you call, we'd love to do the question. So if you call early next week, then we'll do it, okay? But I just don't think we can do it
right
now.
Okay, great. I'll do it.
All right. Thank you, James. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Thank you. And okay, time to clean up here. And Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. The other David E. Kelly show was The Practice, that won Best Drama that year in 1999. The top throwback albums on Spotify this year were Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, Nirvana, Nevermind, Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory, which I have issues with, Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, and the Beatles' album was The Beatles from 1968, which I don't really know if that counts as an album. I feel a little weird about it as well. The top vaccine-related songs added to playlists were Lori Got Hit Me With Your Best Shot. The others were The Cure by Lady Gaga and I Want to Dance With Somebody Who Loves Me by Whitney Houston.
Nice.
Also, Jolene and Save Your Tears.
And Lori.
I think the White Album, its official name might have been The Beatles. So it might have been that.
Okay, I would not. Okay, right, my bad then.
Colorama was in Grand Central Station. These were enormous photographs, 16 by 18 feet, to show off the great color that they could do. And two of them were done by Norman Rockwell and Ansel Adams. So that was that one.
Mm-hmm.
New York and Colorado, along with Maryland and Massachusetts, are the states with a majority of college-educated voters. The other song that Sondheim wrote for West Side Story that he hated was Tonight. And the line, today the world was just an address, a place for me to live in, was something Tony, he said, would never, ever say. The two songs he loved, though, because he thought the characters sounded natural, were The Jet Song and Something's Coming. That's it.
All right. Thank you. And the other country in which one person is on every denomination of their currency is China. Mao is on every denomination of their currency. The greatest story ever told, the biblical film, The Story of Jesus, The Ones Nobody Got. Telly Savalas was Pontius Pilate. Charlton Heston was John the Baptist. David McCallum, My Dream Boat, is Judas. Claude Rains was King Herod. And that was it. Anyway, my thanks to Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer, and of course, Lori Fisher, teacher at DeHavel Valley College. Our thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and the phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 5 p.m. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.